so much can distract you from achieving your goals and dreams. Is there a way to balance your work with other things you enjoy doing that will not make you feel like your time is being abused? At Born to Lead program, we help you to discover or rediscover your purpose or plan for life. We tell you how to find purpose in life. We are all born with a purpose. Join us on the journey to discover how other people have successfully achieved their dream or are on the path of doing so, and how you can do the same. This is Born to Lead. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host. Join us here now on 104.6 Planet FM. Auckland. Good afternoon, the nation's business capital. This is the Born to Lead program, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. My name is Kizito, and I'm your host. So if you just tune in, you are listening live on the studios of Planet FM. This is the Born to Lead program, coming to you live from Radio Planet. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening live on Facebook as well. So today we have a very special guest in our midst, and as I promised last week, it's going to be fantastic here. That is the famous Osibisa Banse, Welcome Home. And welcome to the Born to Lead show. So if you just tune in, you are listening to the Born to Lead show. It says, welcome home. That is Reverend Dr. Peter Joe Andor, the head of Church of Pentecost, Australasia. He is our guest on the show for today. So if you just join us, this is the Born to Lead program coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM. So with us here is a very important guest, a very special guest indeed, who has flown all the way from Sydney, Australia to be on our show. And it is an honor and a big privilege for me to introduce our guest. So I will just quickly allow him to give us his mission, why he's here, and who he is, and what he's here to talk about. So welcome to the show.
I am good afternoon, everyone. It's a privilege to be in this studio this afternoon. Just have to introduce myself. My name is Reverend Dr. Peter Joanda from Australia. I'm the head of the National Head of the Church of Pentecost in Australia. And I'm here this afternoon. I'm here this afternoon to share with you thoughts on team leadership. And I believe that we will all share together and see the importance of team leadership and why we should work in as a team. When we work as a team, we are able to achieve the goal that the particular organization requires. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend, for coming to the show. It's a privilege. So tell us, so when we say team leadership, I know it is a style of one of the styles of leadership.
Yeah.
So what does that mean when we say team leadership?
When we talk about team leadership, we are looking at the fact that individuals come together with individual aspirations. Everyone is multi-talented or multi-gifted, if I can put it that way. Hmm. And for us to have an effective leadership, the individuals have to come together, let go their personal goals and ambitions, and embrace a group goal. And that is what we call team. In fact, coming together as a group is very easy, but forming a team is not easy, because you have to let go your aspirations and embrace one particular goal that will push the organization, or in particular the church, forward.
So what makes that leadership style different from the others? Because I know there are different approaches when it comes to leadership. So when you talk about TL or team leadership, what makes that different from all the other styles of leadership?
All right, when we talk about team leadership, we are actually not talking about a style. Because we got other styles of leadership, like servant leadership style. We got, other leadership like autocratic leadership, and we have
democratic
leadership and other forms of leadership. But what I'm speaking about is more of a team He said, you can be an autocratic leader, or you can be a servant leader, you can be democratic leader, or those leader, that's forms of leadership. Mm. But I'm talking about the base for moving the particular organization or particular leaders forward. Mm. Because you can be a servant leader, a servant leadership, or you can be autocratic or democratic or whatever kind of leadership. But if the leaders don't work as a team, that is where the problem comes. If the leaders don't work as a team, that's where the problem comes. So I'm talking about not a form of a style, but a base for leadership. Mm. If that base is not there, like in the when we look at the olden days, especially, I'm making reference to the Bible.
Yeah.
In the Old Testament, for instance, leadership was more of one person doing it, one man show, one person doing it. A person like Elijah had an encounter with God. Then through that, he had a servant. The servant followed him. When he left, the servant took up. It's one person doing it. But when we look at the New Testament, for effective ministry or service to mankind, there is a need for that particular leader to surround himself with people around him, and that's what we call team leadership. Surrounding people, let the people buy into your vision and your goals, and you move forward. A typical example is Jesus Christ himself. Bible says that even though he was God, he worked with a team. He had 12 people around him, and he had 70 people around him, and he had 3 people within the core around him. A man like Paul, the apostle, was one of the greatest men of old. And this man surrounded himself always with a team. And that actually caused the work to be very fast. And because of that, he was even saying somewhere in the Bible that because he worked as a team, he did more work than all the other apostles, those who came before him and even after him. So team leadership is a base to carry every work that a ministry or an organization want to do. When we work as a team, there are a whole lot of things that happens to us. Some of the benefits are, one, when we work as a team, it allows for the contribution of various individual gifts to operate. Because nobody's indispensable. If everything is coming from the leader, what happens is that other giftings are not able to operate. So if we work as a team, it brings other contributions from other people. As I said, everyone is unique, and everyone is born to lead, and everyone is born to win. That means that each and every one of us has got special abilities. And when you bring ability together, bring my ability together, the particular way that we want to achieve that assignment can be carried forward. The second reason why it is important to work as a team is the fact that when we work as a team, we share wisdom. It's the sharing of wisdom together. Somewhere Bible says, and I quote in Proverbs chapter 11 and the verse number 14, says that for lack of guidance, a nation will fall, but many advices brings victory. So if one person is leading, that particular business can fall. But if we have missed in the midst of many advices, where each one brings the wisdom that God has given to the person, it makes the ministry very effective. I don't know whether you want me to continue. You want to ask some more questions? Okay. Another reason why it is very important for us to work as a team is that when we work as a team, it allows mutuality. There's an interaction between the leadership. And what happens is that that actually brings in the base of unity. See, unity cannot be achieved when others are neglected. But when we are all sharing together, that mutuality is there, that interaction is there. It even kills what we call pride. And power sharing, I mean power struggling. All of those things dies off. Another reason why team ministry is very important is that it allows for the representation within that particular organization. It means that one person won't be able to represent the entire organization to the same degree as a team. A team is a collection of people who have let go their own ambitions and their goals and visions and have embraced a team vision. So one person representing it will not be greater as a team representing that particular organization. Another reason why it is important for us to work, or leaders to work as a team, is that it allows a shared sense of ownership in that particular ministry or that particular, what do you call it, organization. Yeah, a shared ministry. It means that individuals who have a share, you see, will own that business. It's not maybe the director or whoever he calls himself, but all of us own the business. So there's a share, a sense of ownership. And when you feel that you own something, you have, you become very serious about that thing. And accountability too is also there, because if I own that business, if we all will own it together, there's accountability in decision making and freedom for idea sharing. We share ideas together. And then the, another reason is it lightens the burden of overworked staff members. We are some people who call contractors. Everywhere you go, they are there. And some people actually are being drained, because they are the people who come in to do the jobs. But we need all hands on deck, on the dock, so that we can all work together. So those overburdened staff members, their burdens are lightened when we work as a team. And finally, it provides all members with a degree of recognition for their contribution and their help. In this case, it means that if something happens, when the glory is coming, everybody shares the praise, everybody shares the glory, everybody's recognized, everybody's appreciated. And that is the reason why it is very important that we work as a team. Thank you.
Thank you very much for touching on that, Reverend. So just a quick one. In the situations where people are on different stages of development, you know, so people at the early stage where they are forming, and we have people who are quite matured when it comes to leadership. I mean, in where do people, I mean, in the context of getting people, everyone on board, to let them understand that maybe you need to develop, there are stages of development. So how do people contribute in terms of their strengths when it comes to team leadership?
Yeah, when it comes to, people do contribute with the, what, before we can have a team leadership, we have to have leaders. And we tap into leaders, we tap into their giftings or their talents. So if we are able to recognize and identify and discover individual talents, these are the people that will bring them on board. And as they grow by education too. And they also, they grow by association. Association in the sense that there's certain things that you can't be taught. You have to catch. Certain things are caught and they are not taught. Certain things you read, you read books and you never get it there. But when you associate yourself with the leaders, what happens is that they rub their giftings on you. And you'll be able to also run in the same line as the organization is set up.
Can you go a bit deeper on that, rubbing giftings on other people? I mean, is it mainly about observations, or what are some of the things that, especially young ones who are, you know, looking up to the leaders in the team, what are some of the things they could be, you know, they could catch, or they should be conscious of, you know, when they are trying to, you know, learn from experienced leaders?
I think the first thing is the character. The character is very important. You can catch the character by the way they do things. And people are what you call it, if the person is the leader, assuming the leader of the team, the way, let's take example, like, let's use an example like Paul and Timothy. It's through mentoring. And mentoring can be in many ways. Many ways. In a way of, at times, you need to mentoring to has got what you call accountability. You should be able to be so close and open, transparent enough to learn from that person who is being mentored. So the mentor needs to learn. Then the mentee too needs to learn. And in the case of Paul and Timothy, Paul was saying that Timothy knows my ways and my manners and the way I do things. So even as I send him to you, he speaks like me. Wow. He does things like me because I've told him and he's living an example. Wow. And he's an example in word, in love, in conversation. And these are the things that we need to catch.
Yeah.
We catch this thing from the leadership. The second thing is integrity. Every leader, that integrity is one of the most important areas that every leader must know. If a person says that he's committed, he needs to be, one, punctuality talks about commitment.
Wow.
If they're not punctual, you can't be a committed person. Because commitment means something to die for.
Yeah.
You bound yourself to a cause. And within the team ministry, we have bound ourselves to a cause. And the cause is that we want to see that organization or that church or whatever it is to move on a certain lines. So we are called on board to commit ourselves.
Yeah.
The other thing is there should be loyalty. There should be loyalty within the commitment. There should be faithfulness. And there should be people I call dependent upon others.
Yeah.
Depending upon that simply means that if we give you the job, assuming we have a meeting and we want somebody to take up a particular assignment and they mention your name, what will be the reaction of the people around? Would they say that, or especially the leader, would the leader say, "Oh, no, I can't sleep. I don't have a problem. If this one is going to take up this job, I can't sleep. I don't have a problem." But if people cannot depend on you, when your name is mentioned, and people say, "No, this guy, if you give him that job, it's a flop. We will fail." Then you are not dependable. We need to be dependable. And that dependability is also learned. You need to learn in the area of commitment. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So coming back to the stages of development, so you've mentioned some of the things that people who are aspiring to lead organizations in a team could look out for, you know, and that's where, the gift could be rubbed upon them. So what are some of the other things that, you know, people who are aspiring to lead an organization or the part of the team by learning, what are some, especially young people, that they find themselves, you know, as members of a team, what are some of the things they need to look out for or things that it can help them in their stages to grow from forming to maturity?
I think the first thing they need to do is to humble themselves. That's very important because occasionally what happens is that some people feel that they know it all.
Yeah.
And there are three things that are very important. I call it fat. The people must be fat. For you to aspire in leadership and do exploit in your organization, fat must come in. You have to be fat. And fat, F means faithful. You need to be faithful. You need to be faithful as a leader. You need to be faithful. The second one is you need to be available. You see, there are some people who are available, but they are not capable. There are two things here.
Wow.
Availability and capability. Some people are available, but they are not capable. Such people, we can train them to become capable. But the bad side is that people are capable, but they are not available.
Wow.
And God always looks for people who are available.
Oh, yes.
Because he will supply the capability.
Oh, my God.
So that's the reason why it is good for the person to be available. If you don't know anything, no problem.
It doesn't matter how useless you are.
No, it doesn't matter at all. It doesn't matter. The only thing you are available. Let me just give you a story. In the Bible, we're told that as they went, God confirmed his word. God confirmed his word. So as they went, God confirmed that. That means that as they went and preached the gospel, God confirmed his word. There was a young people who moved from place to place, preaching the gospel, talking to people about Jesus Christ. And one time they got to a place. These people are not special people. They're just ordinary young boys and girls. They got a place, and when they got there, somebody was blind. And in fact, they were talking to somebody in that family, and the person challenged them that, okay, this is our brother who is born blind. So if you say your Jesus is alive, do something.
Wow.
And these people don't have special giftings. But because they obey God and they were available at that particular time, go use them to pray for this one who was blind, and the guy who was blind received his sight.
Wow.
You see, this is availability. So when we're available, God comes in and makes us able to do whatever is set before us. The same thing in leadership. When you're available, there's going to be the rubbing on. Because any meeting we go, you look at the leaders and there's a rub on.
Yeah.
I mean, the scripture Bible say a rub on of anointing.
Wow.
Yes. So this Elijah rubs his anointing on Elisha. Because Elisha was available all the time.
Oh, yes.
And even when Elijah was going to heaven, you see, Elisha knew about it. And Elijah told Elisha, that, why don't you stay here? I'm going somewhere. I'll come back. But Elisha said, no. Wherever you go, I'll go with you.
Oh, yes.
And he went until finally, because he was available, he had a double portion.
Oh, yes.
So in leadership, we need to be available. And when you're available, God brings in. There are a lot of people who are capable, but we don't see them. They don't see them at all. The first thing that we need to do is teachable. So you have to be faithful. You have to be available. Then finally, you have to be teachable. And teachable is very important, because some people think that they know more than even the leader himself. You have to be teachable. You have to have a teachable spirit. Because as you form in that team, that's what you call grooming. You're being groomed to become the man that God has put you there. But before you can be groomed, you have to be teachable. Don't say, I know it all, but learn. And there are certain things that you need to unlearn so that you can learn certain things. At times, God will pass you through the mill. At times, God will intentionally allow somebody, maybe your boss or somebody, to be so hard on you. And don't take that one as a punishment. Look at what is coming out of it. You are learning a lesson to equip you so that when you're on top, you'll be able to manage things well. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. So, ladies and gentlemen, in the studio here today is Reverend Dr. Joe Anda, who is the head pastor or the head of the Church of Pentecost Australasia. So that's a lot of beautiful things we are learning here. So if you're a young person and you are part of a leadership team, you know, she said there are three things that you really, really have to do. You know, you have to be available, you need to be faithful, and you need to be teachable. So these are some of the things that as a young person who aspiring to be a leader, you need to watch out for. So thank you very much. So we are going on a break, and when we come back, we have more things that we're going to be talking about with Reverend Dr. Joe Anda, who is on the studio here with us today for the Born to Lead Show. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned. So for those of you who are listening, book. Just feel free to paste or post any question. Please feel free to do so, and then we'll ask to address all those for us. So, those of us who are listening live on Facebook, if you have any question on team leadership, please feel free to post it on the page, and then we'll be able to ask Reverend. Thank you. Reverend, thank you and welcome back. So tell us, before the break, we were talking about some of the stages of leadership and then also how young people can... how young people, you know, can learn from those who are experienced. Is there anything else you want to add on to that before probably look at some of the specific skills that, you know, team leadership, you know, brings, or some of the importance or the things that, you know, you could grab when it comes to team leadership?
Okay. I don't know whether you want me to talk about the destroyers of team leaders.
Yeah, so you carry on with that. So, but before that, is there anything else that you think young people? Because my interest is more about young people who find themselves in team leadership and what they could learn. Mm-hmm. You've talked about we need to be faithful, we need to be available, and we need to be teachable. Mm-hmm. So those are very essential things that, you know, we need to be able to exhibit, you know, for us to be able to learn.
That's right.
So is there anything else that young people, especially, you know, finding themselves in a team, could learn from the experience?
Okay, there's one thing which is very, very important. Very, very important. I think it's even much more important than all the things that I've just said. And that is what I call the God factor. The God factor. The God factor is very, very important because of the fact that without God, you will not go very far. The God factor is what I call the energy that you get from within. The energy that you get from within, that's the God factor. We were created in the image of God. Bible says so. And Bible says that God, when God created man, he gave man dominion, authority, or rulership. So leadership was given to man.
Mm.
That is why you call this studio Born to Lead. Mm. Everyone, in fact, in God's economy, human beings are supposed to rule.
Yeah.
Every human being.
Mm.
And human beings are not supposed to be ruled by human beings.
Mm.
God's economy is every one of us is a leader.
Mm.
But unfortunately, sin came in. And when man disobeyed God, sin came in. And because of sin, we are living in a depraved world.
Mm.
So for us to get our energy back, that God factor back, there are about three steps that we need to do.
Mm.
The first step is that we should repent.
Mm.
Repentance simply means that turning away.
Yeah.
The way you look at the world, the way you look at sin, and the way you look at God, you have to have another perspective about God.
Yes.
So you turn away from your sins.
Mm.
You turn away from the things that God says is wrong.
Mm.
It's a change of mind that affects a change of heart, that affects a manner of living. That is the repentance.
Mm.
Then when this occurs, what happens is that forgiveness is given to you.
Mm.
Forgiveness is given to you by Jesus Christ because he came to die.
Mm.
So we receive his forgiveness. Now when we receive his forgiveness, the next thing that happens is we believe in him.
Mm.
And our believing in Jesus gives us to become the children of God.
Mm.
That means that naturally you and I are not God's children.
Mm.
We were created as God's creatures, but we become God's children when we receive Jesus into our life. John 1:12 says that, it says that as many as received him, to them that even believe in his name, were given the right to become. So we need to become. And when you receive Jesus, you become the child of God, and the God factor takes over.
Mm.
Then it gives you that energy within you to be a very good leader.
Mm.
Even within the team ministry or team leadership, you need a God factor to be effective.
Mm.
Now, when the God factor is not there, whatever you do doesn't match up. But when we have the God factor, by receiving him into our life, repenting and believing, and the third one is to be baptized. Baptism, as we know, as Bible says, is the first practical obedience to God. See, somebody say, I'm a Christian, I've repented, I've believed, my sins are forgiven me, and he refuses to be baptized. Practically, he has not obeyed God. Even though baptism does not save, it's a symbolic of God's, I mean, Jesus' death. It's like his burial, his resurrection. So if somebody goes into the water or is baptized, the person comes out to live a new life as Jesus was raised from the dead. So he also is raised to live a new life for God. These are the three things that brings in the God factor in our life.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. So now coming to what you call people who make it difficult, you know, when it comes to team leadership, I mean, or destroyers, I believe. What do you have to say on that? I mean, things, I mean, that are made difficult by other people who don't seem to believe in that.
There are certain things that actually destroys effective leadership. For team leadership is the effective, efficient form of leadership. Now, certain things that we need to note, because those things can creep into the leadership team and it can destroy so many things. The first is independent spirit of attitude. Independent spirit attitude can destroy team leadership. I'll give you an example. Like, you, the leader or the group, the team leaders or leader brings in a case. He opts for something that we want to do this. Then one particular person or maybe a group of people within the team will opt against what the leader has said. They want to be independent. Attitude is displayed. A typical example is, I'll give the example in the Bible again. This man called Joab. Joab was the captain of the host of army of David, the king. And in the Bible, we're told that David spoke to the congregation. Then somewhere along the line, there was Abner. Abner was the captain of the armies of Saul. But when Saul died, Abner rallied all the 10 tribes of Israel and put them under a king that is Saul's, one of Saul's children. Then somewhere along the line, after so many years, Abner decided that he will come to David and give the kingdom, the 10 tribes, back to David. So Abner had an appointment with David. He came to see David. Then he told David that, I came in peace. I didn't come for war. So David realized that this man was genuine. And he decided, they made a treaty that, okay, that's fine. David gave them food and they left. He proclaimed or pronounced peace on Abner. Then when Abner left, Joab, being the captain of the army of David, came back. And he came to the palace. Then somebody told Joab that Abner has come here. And Joab went straight to the king and said, no, king, why did you spare Abner? Because he came to spy on you. And the king said, no, he didn't come to spy on me. He came and I made peace with him. And this and that is what he said he's going to do. But David did not know that Joab has a bad intention. So when Joab left the palace, he sent some people to go and call Abner. And when Abner came, David told the people that, tell Abner that the king has got special message, and I have been given the message to deliver. So when Abner came, Joab took Abner aside and killed him. This is independent spirit attitude. Because the king has opted for something, Abner too has opted for a different thing. And when this comes within a team, the team is very weak. It can work well. Another example is one of the times the king there was a war. Mm. And normally, during wars like this, the king may lead the war, or the captain of the armies of the king may lead the war. Yeah. This time, the captain of the armies of the king had to lead the war. That's Joab.
Mm.
And Joab decided to lead the war. In the midst of the war, Joab saw that the enemies are being captured.
Mm-hmm.
Then Joab had to sound a note that go and tell the king, David, that he should come. This is what he says. He says, take the city, or I will take it and call it by my name. That is 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 28. You see, those independent spirit will not leave. They will not leave that particular organization, or if it's a church, but they will rather threaten to make, threaten to take over matters by themselves. So Joab says that, look, if you don't come and take the city, I will take the city and name it after me. And these are destroyers, people who will not leave. They are at loggerheads, or they've got different vision, and they will not leave that that team, but they'll be in the team and use their position
to destroy.
To destroy, and such people are very dangerous. The third one is also found in 1 Kings. It's concerning David's son, and independent spirit. What they do that they may help the opposition. You see the. In fact, I'm talking about Christian leadership. Christian leadership, we don't have democracy. It's not a democratic leadership. In the sense that we have the ruling party and we have the opposition party. See, some people sitting on the fence. No. Teamwork, there's no that thing. Where some people sit at the fence, opposition leaders and others will be the ruling party. Team leadership means that we all come together and work as a
team.
Inclusive. All inclusive. So in this case, Joab, in fact, David has pronounced that after his death, his son Solomon will be the king. His son Solomon will be the king. Everybody knew about it. Joab knew about it. Some of the prophets knew about it. Even Solomon himself knows about it. All the children of David knew about it. But somewhere along the line, there was Adonijah. Adonijah was the first. He happened to be the firstborn of David. So he thought that being the firstborn, in fact, that was the tradition over there, those days.
His birthright.
The birthright. He is supposed to be the next king. So what happened was that Adonijah called some people around, went to a place, threw a party, and he said, I will be king. I'm the king. That's what he was saying. I will be king. And when he said, I will be king, Joab knew that David, being the leader of the team, has said that Solomon should be the next after me. Joab knew about it, but yet Joab followed the opposition party against the will of David. And that is the independent spirit. And that is, they will work with the opposition against you. And that one too is another destroyer. I don't know whether I should end here. All right. Now, I've talked much about Joab. So what do I call it? Joabic or Joab spirit. If Joab spirit is in your team, the team will not stand very well. Yes, they will have another spirit that I call Absalom spirit. Absalom spirit too is hurts and offenses. Hurts and offenses is very, very dangerous when this happens in a team. You see, what happens is that when there's a team, maybe before even the teamwork, there are some kind of hurts here and there. We are humans and we are relational beings. And that means that we will hurt one another. It's normal. We offend one another. It's normal. If somebody says that, me, I've never offended anybody before, then you might be an angel. But being human, we make mistakes. We offend. As we are also offended. Now, when somebody offends you or somebody hurts you, what do you have to do? You have to sit down with the person, ask for forgiveness, and you receive, you give forgiveness, or you receive forgiveness. In the case of Absalom, he didn't do that. He had a long-standing offense with his half-brother. Mm. I mean, with his brother. His brother took hold of his sister, Tamar, in the Bible, and destroyed her virginity. And when the sister Tamar felt that her virginity had been destroyed, she cried, tore her clothing, she went home, and the brother saw her and said, "What happened?" And he said, "It's my brother, my brother did that. Ammon did that." So what happened was that instead of this Absalom to confront his brother, his stepbrother, about what he did, he kept silent. He never talked about it. Until after 2 years, he decided to hold a party, call all the king's sons. Then, there, he ordered that Amnon should be killed. You see? So you don't wait. We don't follow Absalom's spirit. Mm-hmm. If somebody hurts you, straight away, ask for forgiveness or give forgiveness. Mm-hmm. But don't have it standing for a long time. He did the same thing to his father, David. And finally, he even cooped him off the throne. But God being so good, things turned around against him. Mm. So that hurts and offenses will come.
Yeah.
But we should be able to release the person and forgive them. Mm. Why? Because if you don't forgive, the team ministry will be in trouble. Mm. And the other thing too is that God, you can't receive forgiveness from God. Because God says that if you forgive, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So that is Absalom's spirit.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, thank you very much, Reverend. So just a quick one. So when it comes to, values, and I know that these are things that are very important when it comes to leadership. So what are the most important values, you know, a team leader should demonstrate, you know, especially when you are working, you know, in a team?
I think the first, I think I've even mentioned those values already. I think the first value is your credibility, your accountability, your character. In fact, we have what we call who is with you, who are you, and what you have. These are the three things. Who is with you talks about what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Who is with you talks about the God factor. Mm-hmm. The God factor. It must be there. Then what you have is the skills that you have to acquire. Then who are you is the character.
Mm.
So you have the God factor in you. Then, in the biblical sense, we say the anointing.
Mm-hmm.
You get anointing on you. The anointing must be there. The grace must be there. Then grace in of itself or the anointing itself, it's not enough.
Mm.
You also need character. Because some people are very charismatic. They have charisma. They've got all the charisma. And yet they don't have character.
Mm.
Somebody like Saul in the Bible.
Mm.
Saul, is it Saul? No, Samson in the Bible. Samson had all the charisma, all the energy, all the God factor.
Mm.
And yet his character was not good.
Mm.
Yes. So you need the God factor. You need your character too. It's very important. Then you need skills.
Mm.
And skills are learned. It's learned from reading books.
Mm-hmm.
It's also learned from association with your leadership, your leaders. And these three things come together to build us up.
Awesome. So ladies and gentlemen, so with us in the studio is Reverend Dr. Joe Ando, who has been sharing what it takes to be a team leader in a group. Thank you very much. So when we come back, we are on a break. When we come back, probably we'll ask Reverend Doctor to wrap it up. And as I said, so if you have any questions or if you have any contributions, feel free to post them on Facebook. Those of you who are listening on Facebook, and we'll be happy to let him know so that he can answer them for you. Thank you for those who have judged. Listening to the Born to Lead Show, coming to you live from the studios of Planet FM 104.6. And with us in the studio is Reverend Dr. Peter Joe Ander, who is the head of Church of Pentecost for Australasia. Just to wrap it up, do you have any other specific things you want to touch on? Then probably we'll wrap it up when it comes to team leadership.
All right. I think I'll just add one more. Destroyers. And that is the spirit of pride. Pride and rebellion, open rebellion. Something that we need to guard against. Because pride and open rebellion will fight against leadership. And that is not very good. Absalom did the same thing. And rebellion will kill its followers, too. And these are the things that we need to
watch out for.
We also need to watch out for political spirits. In the case of Absalom's case was more of a political spirit. Because Absalom did certain things that was not very good. He actually tried to win the hearts of the people to fight against his father. He when he was allowed to come to the palace, when somebody is coming to see the king, he would meet the person on the at the door and ask the person and tell the person that, look, if the person, I mean, Israel, what they do is that they will hug you. When you come there, you'll be hugged. Then they'll ask your mission. But Absalom does not hug them only. He hugs them and kisses them. Is he showing a kind of affection? In a way, the motive was wrong. In a way, he wanted to win the hearts of the people. Then he had that word when they pronounce or present their case. He said, there's nobody in the king's palace who will do justice to your case. If I was the king, I would have done this. And through this, he actually won the hearts of the people. And that political spirit is a dangerous destroyer when it comes to team leadership. Finally, what I want to say is, I want us to know that all these aspirations that we are longing for, we have to make sure that we have the God factor. The God factor is the most important thing. Once that is established, we'll be able to do whatever God has given or granted to us. There will be disloyal leaders. That's a fact. And ask yourself, are you loyal enough to report to the leadership anything that is out of order or is vital for the health of that team. Particular team? That is very important. Do you act on godly principles or just by your emotions? And you should know that loyalty is one of the key elements in team leadership. Thank you, and may God bless you.
All right, thank you. So that was Reverend Dr. Peter Joanda, who is the head of the Church of Pentecost Australasia, who shared with us what we call team leadership, some of the essentials when it comes to team leadership. It was a pleasure having you here, Dr. Joanda. Thank you so much for sharing with us some of the things that we should have to watch out for, and especially the young people who are aspiring to be leaders, who are aspiring to learn from seasoned and experienced leaders. He says that what I've taken out of today's session is that you need to be faithful, you need to be teachable, and you need to be available. So availability, teachability, and also being able to what? Be faithful. That is very important, you know, especially if you are a young person and you are aspiring to be a leader one day, or you are part of a group, you know, be in the formative stages, you know, for you to be a matured, you know, and well formidable and capable leader. These are some of the things that you need to allow yourself to be rubbed upon you by experienced and seasoned leaders. Thank you very much, Reverend Dr. Joanda. It was a pleasure having you here. So that brings us to the end of today's show. Yeah, that was the Born to Lead show.
We were there when it shone. For we were there when it shone. So we were there.
It was a pleasure having you all for this week's show, Born to Lead. About team leadership with Reverend Dr. Peter Joanda, all the way from Australia. Thank you. So that brings us to the end of today's show. So if you don't hear from me once again, that is me. For you, for this week on the Born to Lead show, live from the studios of Planet FM. Thank you all for those who join us on Facebook, and those of you too who are listening to us live on planetaudio.org.nz. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful week, and God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Thank you. Bye.
Sumanguru, you know when it shone. Kindaki meni no sumanguru, you know we were just there. We were there when it shone. Wasetutu, you know, Bamansa, you know, Yasantua, you know when it shone. From Israel to Egypt, from Ethiopia to Sudan when it shone. They claim they came to wipe our tears away. They wiped away our history. They claim they came to wipe our tears away. They wiped away our glory. So what do we turn to? So who do we turn to? So where do we turn to? So what do we turn to? So who do we turn to? So where do we turn to? They say there's nowhere to turn to, but it's not true. Come on, everybody. You were there first, then let me know. You were there first, then let me know. You were there first, then let me know. When he said let them we were there first, then let me know. We were there, we were there first, then let me know. We were there, we were there first, then let me know. When the walls of Jericho we first, then let me know. Came tumbling down, we were there first, then let me know.
Thank you for listening to the Born to Lead program. This program was brought to you by Kizito Esuman. Join us same time next week. And remember, if you've missed any part of today's show, you can listen again anytime at planetaudio.org.nz/Born to Lead. Thank you.